uses something so simple. So I wanted to go one step further with this concept of you know, because when you think about Jesus, how when he was teaching us how to do communion, it was at a meal time. So we do meals often. We do 3 times a day, sometimes snacks in between. So we have lots of opportunities to do communion. Maybe 6 if you're kids, eh? But like, I know there's people that like vacuum. When you vacuum maybe once a day or something, you could use your vacuum cleaner. Be like, so Jesus, suck away anything bad and breathe life into me new, you know? And anything like that. So I had another thought about that. Yeah, vacuum cleaning. Anything else? What other things do we do? What's quite what's that? Dishes, yeah. Wash away all this stuff in me, you know, and that's not of you, you know what I mean? And clean me. You know, we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So I think Jesus, obviously, he was, you know, we eat a lot usually. So it's something that we could do when you vacuum or washing dishes. What's that? Shearing, yeah. Showering, yeah. Definitely shearing. Is there any shearers in the house? Take out my outer garment, the Lord. Is there any shearers in the house? Or? Oh, bless you, Stuart. Yeah, you soldier, the soldier. Yeah, what else? Yeah, like peeling potatoes. We peel potatoes at work. That's like kind of like a mundane job, you know? So you have to take away that dirty pad on the outside, and or you could wash it. So you could do it while washing it or peeling it. It's up to you. So next time you peel potatoes, remember, Jesus' blood is sufficient. Take away all the sin of the world, you know? So, but I just wanted to just quickly share, you know, what is Corinthians 11 kind of talks about, just having a sincere heart about communion, where don't take it for granted. So I'll just read it and makes it a bit easier. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me, or whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." That's pretty amazing. But then it goes on and says, so then whenever you eat of the bread and the cup of the Lord, in an unworthy manner, you will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. So it's like, make sure you give your whole heart to Jesus when you do this. It's like, we're not just doing some, it's like a prophetic statement, you know? It's like, we're not just doing this, just getting it done. It's like, whoa, sure, you know, just, you know? Because he did that on the cross. It's like, we can't do that with this, but he does that. So we're prophetically proclaiming over our own bodies that he's got something way bigger than what we can even imagine for us. Yeah, so, yeah, bless you. And I don't know if there's a few people that could hand out communion. That would be real cool. Or you can just go get communion. So, bless you. And maybe in groups of 4 or 5, something like that. Is that what we're doing? Yeah, that sounds good. And yeah, just speak life over each other and just be honest with each other and see what happens.
Just remember the vacuum cleaner thing. As we've proclaimed through communion the power of your blood, the power of a new covenant, the power of your life flow in us, we just pray a release now of every purpose in every person in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. I just think it's really important that we pause for a minute before. I've got a few things to say that are important, but just that we are actually in a moment. We're actually in a moment where God is moving in our midst. We sang those words this morning. We've talked about how God can actually move in every aspect of our daily life. Every aspect of our life is worship. Did you know that? It's not just singing Christian songs. You know it's true, everything I do it for you. I'd walk the wire for you. The words of that song, what a beautiful song. What a beautiful song of worship. Everything we do is worship. Everything we do is worship. And we just mixed it up today. I'm sort of looking at a fern instead of Gay. Hi, Gay. When God messes things up, he does so to bring out beauty in a different way, to show things as beautiful in a different way. Children, you've been awesome. I'm not going to speak for long. Hey, can we have the PowerPoint, the first slide, please? There's a couple of things coming up. In fact, there's several I want to mention this morning. Next Saturday, guys, Kerry Hartley, our beloved Kerry, is speaking at a men's breakfast. Is it 7:30? Excellent. At 7:30. So if you want to rock up with some koha, anything over and above, we're going to give to the New Plymouth RSA. By the way, how many people went to one of the community services on Anzac Sunday? Was that awesome? To be part of the community, to be sprinkled like salt, seasoning the community, to understand that there's something in people's hearts that is yearning for God, although they might not come to church. Hey. When we said the Lord's Prayer, every time on Anzac Day when the Lord's Prayer is spoken, you look around and you say, God, thank you for this. Thank you that as we speak this prayer, when you taught us how to pray, this is something that is releasing blessing in our city. We want to release blessing in our city, don't we? So good on you. And I want to thank you, all of you who baked Anzac biscuits and all of you who delivered them. Faye, yeah. Faye, you're a beautiful sister and your boldness delights the Lord. And you've blessed so many people by literally chasing after them with God's presence through an Anzac biscuit. Yeah. So there's some great heroes. Edith, Lydia, others, Gay, there's the different ones. If I've forgotten your name, those are just the ones that I can see in my vision. But your generosity, people who baked, I've never seen so many different varieties of Anzac biscuits. And you know, I think I tasted most of them. So eat and drink for tomorrow we diet. But anyway, sorry, back to Kerry. Kerry, breakfast, good times, good encouragement. Kerry's someone who just breathes life in the place, and encourage you men to be there 7:30 next week. The next slide, please, is Huia Come Home Book Club. Now, the month of June, there are 5 Wednesdays in the month of June. What we're asking people to do is, many of you will be aware that we are actually pursuing some aspects of bicultural partnership in this church. We have been for a number of years. And one of the things that we have in this city is we have Jay and Erin Ruka. Jay was the author of this book. And Jay has offered to come and help us in our journey there. But what we're going to do is we're going to ask for whether you're in a home group or not, whatever you're doing, is we're going to ask that if you can, we're going to put a sheet up next week and for the next few weeks that you can write your name down. And what that does is it says that, look, I want to actually read this book together. We're going to come and we've got some things that we're going to steer some conversation around and then just discuss why we're doing what we're doing. Okay? So that's going to come out next week. So I'd encourage you, if you don't want to buy a book, that's fine. You can actually, if you're not a good reader, someone says, oh, I hate reading books. Okay? Excellent news. It's on an audio book and you can get a free audio book subscription for a month, and Jay can read it to you himself, all right? But what we want to do is that come together. So we're all in on this, and we want to come together and just discuss some of the things. Some of the things might actually cause you to be really sad. Some might cause you to be angry. Some might cause you to be, oh, is that what you've been doing in our nation, Lord? But all of those things, there's things that we're going to be discussing together, and we want to do that. So for 5 Wednesday nights in June, we'd like to invite the whole church to come out, all right? Read a book, have some talks, listen to some kōrero, and grow. So that's number 2. Next slide, please, is, aha, save the date. Now, were any of you given one of these as you walked in this morning? Okay, that's all right. They're going to start coming out. But what we want you to do is save the date from the weekend of the 2nd to 4th of July. We're going to be celebrating our belated 40th anniversary as a church. 40 years as a church. 40 years blessing God in our community. 40 years. You know what? If we weren't here, I reckon our community would miss us. And we've got Kim and Sue sitting in our midst. They're the couple who led the church prior to us being here. They're going to be there. There's going to be other people that we're inviting down. We're going to have people like Jill and Don Smith. Does anyone remember Jill and Don? Just been important people speaking prophetically into life. Charles and Janine Williams. Does anyone know Charles and Janine Williams? Charles and Janine painted the mural on the outside of the building next door to us. They're going to come down, and as a result, we're going to commission them to do a new painting. That painting spoke prophetically into our city. It's the Tui bird, beautiful Tui bird, arguably probably one of the most photographed walls in the universe. I don't know how many times I come out the building, there's a group of people that stop and are clicking on their phone, and it's a beautiful piece of art, but you know, it's 7 years old, and street art has a lifespan. So as part of this new season that we're walking in, not into, but we're walking in, we believe that God's going to speak in a new way. There's going to be people really who are going to be really sad. Oh, you're getting rid of the Tui? Don't be that person. I'm going to be a little bit sad, but I'm really excited about what God's going to speak on that wall to the community in this new season that we're walking in. Is anyone else a little excited to hear that? Right. But all that to say is you'll be given, handed out a card. It tells a little bit of details, and more details will come later. So that's our 40th. But what's the next slide? I think it's a really good one with 2 words on it. Willing worship. One of the things that I just want to speak into very quickly today is willingness. Willingness. If you're willing to do something, that's a powerful motivator. It's a powerful motivation. Are you willing? Yes. Are you able? I don't feel like it. But if you're willing, God's ability comes in and launches us to take a step of growth and a step of faith, and that's what he calls us to do. But one of the things about being willing is when God speaks to us, and he does that in different ways, doesn't he? I sang a little song this morning. God speaks to me whenever I hear that song. Everything I do it for you. And I had no idea I was going to sing that this morning either. Just sort of came to me at the time. And those are those little things that when God gives you a nudge, you step out on it, don't you? Right? So God gave me a nudge about a month ago, and he suggested that I read Exodus, the book of Exodus. And I'm sort of I mainly stick to the right-hand side of the Bible rather than the left-hand. But I thought let's just open the book of Exodus and read. And, you know, I was just so blessed. I was so motivated for the first 3 or 4 days. And then life got in the way. There was things to do and other scriptures to look at and books to read and stuff to attend to and my own laziness. You probably read for an hour a day, don't you, all of you? Bible scholars, some of you might, and that's awesome. Some of you might do more. Some of you might have a prayer ministry. But for me, I let things lapse. And I thought, and then God just gave me a little nudge last week and said, hey, you haven't finished Exodus. And I thought, oh, no, I haven't. I'd got to chapter 30-something, right? And then I started reading it. And I came to chapter 32. I think it's somewhere around about there, okay? So 32-ish. It's that story about how Moses was called up onto the mountain, and he received on the mountain instructions, commandments, and they were written by the hand of God onto some stone tablets. You heard of that story? Yeah. Okay. So I read about that, and do you know what happened next? He came down the mountain. What happened? He'd taken too long for the people. Hadn't he? He'd taken too long for the people. The people had gotten restless and say, hey, let's take the matters into our hands. Let's do something and build ourselves something to, I better go there. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Let's just go there. Here we go. Exodus. Excellent. 32. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. Aaron answered them, take off your gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me. So they all took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. And he took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. And then they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. How could they? How could Aaron say that after hearing what God had spoken to him? And yet the pressure was so enormous to produce something that he actually crafted something that was an image of a cow? I mean, a sheep I'd understand, but a cow? No, I'm just kidding. They used the resource that the Egyptian people had given them because God knows that he has had provision with them for the next season of their life. They took what God had given them through the Egyptians, and they used them for this particular purpose. Anyway, so you know the rest of the story. Moses got a bit ho-ha. He came down, he took the stone tablets, and he smashed them. So he took matters into his own hands. Some people reckoned that Moses had an anger problem. You know, he hit a rock as well, and, you know, he had a few issues. Just like you and I. I believe God is releasing someone from anger this morning. There's something that God wants to do. If you're a person who's prone to anger, he just wants to release that this morning. In Jesus' name, we just pray that that spirit of anger will go and never come back. Father, you would give that reconciliation spirit and to the person or people who have got that and have had that as an issue in their past. Lord, we say in this season, it would not be an issue. In this new season that they're in, we speak words that are creative and that bring life in Jesus' name. Amen? That's also not in my notes. So, but what happens if we fast forward a little bit? There's a situation where God goes up and he gets things sorted out again, and Moses comes back with a new tablet. I think it was a Samsung. And then he had a different korero. And I love, notice the difference, whereas Aaron said, take off your earrings and I'll I'll do something for you. Look at this beautiful thing. He says, Moses got instructions to build a tabernacle, a place of worship, a place where people could come and experience the presence of God. There's a place where they could come, where there could be washing and cleansing, a place where they could come, where they could get right with God. That was before Jesus came, but that's what our earlier forebears had to do. And God created a place for them to do so. He called it the tabernacle. And it says, he gave instructions and had lots of gold and purple cloth and skins and poles and stuff like that. Had lots of building material. And so Moses called the people together and he said to the whole Israelite community, this is in chapter 35, says, this is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, fine linen, goat hair, ram skins, dyed red, and hides of sea cows, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and fragrant incense, and the onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastplate. Because what happened was there was a clothing that took place. There was there was going to be an anointing of a people to function in priestly ministries. There was to be a construction that was being built that needed resources. And God always knows that there's resourcing available. Right? I just want you to say, there is resourcing available for me for every purpose of God. Just say that together. There's resourcing available for me for every purpose of God. So Moses, when he came in front of the community, I don't think he'd done this before, but he said, take from what you have, take an offering for the Lord. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. And then he goes on in verse 10, because he knew that this is going to take a bit of skill to get things working. And he said in verse 10, he says, all who are skilled among you are to come and make stuff, right? Skilled people make things. In verse 21, he goes on and says this, everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work of the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the sacred garments. In chapter 36, verse 3, it says, the people continued to bring free will offerings morning after morning. And then in 36, verse 6, Moses said, hey, hang on. He says, the people were restrained from bringing more because what they already had was more than enough. You see, what I want you to notice first is that in the story where people brought their earrings and the story where people brought their earrings and other stuff, it was the same material, but it was used for a different purpose. There wasn't a demand from Aaron saying, bring me this stuff. Bring me your earrings and I'm going to make you a calf. Moses said, from what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing, bring it to the Lord. And there was something about the free will that they had that I believe the offering was blessed by the Lord. Anyone. The same materials, different purpose, everyone contributed. What we're going to do in the next couple of months is we're going to be inviting different people to come and who are going to be speaking and building into this new season of our life. We're going to be painting a new wall, and we are going to be enjoying each other's company, and all it takes, finances, it takes resource. And what we would love you to do is we'd love you to ask God. Said, ask God, this is not Chris coercing you. How many times have you heard me speak a giving message? Not very often, right? We have an offering box down the back. Many of you just give faithfully, and we just appreciate that because we couldn't run the church without that. However, what I am asking you to do is I'm asking you to think about this particular period in our church history, this 40-year period. And I'm asking you to think about asking God what you have that you could offer to the Lord for this purpose of getting together and celebrating what he's done, the goodness of God for 40 years. 40 years in Scripture often speaks of a generation. So from one generation to another, there's the declaration of the goodness of God in every aspect of what we do. And so what I'm inviting you to do that, and you see some beautiful scriptures in Mark chapter 12, and it's also mentioned in Luke 21. It speaks about Jesus sitting outside and looking at where the offering box was that the Jews brought their stuff for the temple and the tabernacle, whatever temple. And he noticed two different things. And he singled out two different people. There's people with wealth that brought quite a bit, and they chucked quite a bit of money in the box. But he spoke about the widow that brought her all, just a couple of copper coins. And he commended the woman because she gave of what the only thing that she had, because her whole life belonged to God. But he didn't disregard the wealthy who brought as well, did he? He didn't. Just saying that. But the other thing too is that when he spoke on the mountain in Matthew chapter 6, he says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So when he spoke about giving, he spoke about where our treasure is, that's where our heart will be. I want to remind us that one of the things that we spoke as a vision statement over this house is that generations and nations would love God and love people. And so from one generation to the other, we believe this whole thing is a prophetic statement that will speak into this next generation in the life of our church. So we encourage you, ask God, from what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Now, I don't want it today. Right? Don't give anything today. Well, you can give stuff if you like. But over the next couple of months, as the Lord moves you, we'd love you to give and contribute into that next season that we're in. Charles and Janine Williams came on July 12th, 2020, and they spoke these words. We're going to finish with these. This is, take courage, City Life Church, that God has been in this house shifting and using seasons, bringing fresh people in, shifting people out. When this happens, it doesn't just create things that are new. Things fall away. This is not negative. People shift, ministries move, the way we do things alter and come apart. There's this fresh thing that's sitting here. This is what we need to go after. And then they go on to say this: honor the past season, but embrace that there is a completely new one. We're not dragging anything through. We're asking for the fresh ability to see what's in front of us, because the perspective is so great in this new season. God is faithful. He's after our heart. He's going to give us what we need. God will, we need to hear your voice like never before, so we can hear your heart, know you more, and understand the specific call you've had on this house for the city. We're here to bring this city life, and can't do so without your life, God. Reveal your love through practical outworking and creative ideas. Speak joy of the Lord and the strength for the new season. Pray for finances, ideas, joy, goodness, prophetic wisdom. Shift in the way we carry the prophetic to enter a new season, bringing shift in the city and this house. Release dreams and strategies, abilities to discern and negotiate in the spirit what should be. Pray for an outpouring of God's love. Give him your heart first, from what you have, from your willingness and how your heart moves you, bring your free will offering to the Lord. So I want to just leave you with those thoughts. I want to just leave you with those thoughts. And the whole thing of worship is all part of our worship, is our giving of finances, as well as our giving our hearts to God and our lives for one another. So Lord, in Jesus' name, we release that that whole spirit of manaakitanga, that spirit of generosity, that spirit of hospitality. Lord, as that's one of our core values in this house, Father, we just pray that you move on all of our hearts, mine included. Father, it's not about the money, but it's about your purposes in the season ahead. So God, we release that even in this time of worship we've had this morning. There's words that we've spoken. There's communion we've partaken of. There's thoughts that we've been challenged with. But Father God, we trust you. We trust you in this new season. We trust you in your goodness towards us through your beautiful Son, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So, Oh, yeah, yeah. So if people need some prayer, we're going to have just some people up front who will pray with you. If you're visiting here, once again, remember, the first coffee's on us, all right? So you're welcome to do that. And please stay and talk with one another. Bless one another in Jesus' name. Have a great week. Bye-bye.